what time it is. That's right. It's time for your Every Other Friday FOMO, where I share a chunk of a patron-exclusive episode and remind you of all the things you're missing out on by not supporting Retronauts. As of this week, we now have more stuff that you're not able to enjoy than ever before. Of course, as always, patrons who support Retronauts at the $5 a month level continue to enjoy bi-weekly exclusive episodes like the one you're about to preview. And yes, you still get a This Week in Retro column and mini-podcast by Diamond Fight every Sunday. But now supporting Retronauts at the $5 a month level or higher means you also have access to a patron-exclusive Discord server. You know, Discord. The TikTok generation's answer to IRC and message boards all at once. That's a lot of goods for a modest sum, as if the exclusive podcasts weren't enough on their own. Like this episode, which continues our Godzilla discussion from a couple of months ago by talking about the actual Showa-era games based on Godzilla. From unlicensed ZX Spectrum creations to the infamous NES game. And Gojira-kun, too. So please enjoy the preview, and once you have confirmed this episode does indeed merit a full listen, enjoy the whole thing by hopping over to patreon.com/retronauts and signing up to support the show at the $5 per month level. But for now, enjoy this Godzilla-sized excerpt. So this episode, we need to talk about Godzilla, like the classic Showa movies, and also the games from the Showa era. But guess what? We're doing it backwards. We're going to talk about the games first, and then we can talk about the movies. You get your dessert after your meal, young men. So, yes, we are going to talk about the video games, as I said, of the Showa era, which is basically like the first 10 years worth of Godzilla games, because there were no video games before the Showa era. If there were, I would love to know about this. Like, were people playing video games on a different engine and not telling us about it? No. So beginning in like 1983-ish, and as we said before, the Showa era went through the end of the 80s, basically. So that's kind of what we're looking at here, is games released between 83 and 89. And that is actually, there's a surprising number. Not all of them are legitimate. I'm sure Toho was like, hello, Screonk. But yeah, the very first Godzilla games were actually just like, someone said, hey, there's this property over in Japan. They'll never know about this. They don't have video games over there. They don't have, you know, well, they don't make Godzilla anymore. It had been like 10 years since the last Godzilla movie. So, at this point, they were just like, okay, let's just go for it. So my question to you, all of you, is have you played any of these games whatsoever? Because they are not exactly accessible in the year of our Lord 2021.
The Japanese ones, no, not at all. Those were like all on weird systems, like, I shouldn't say weird, that's like Orientalist, but like the MSX and things that we didn't have access to in the States.
Yeah, they're a little strange, though. They're a little obscure to Western tastes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, MSX isn't as weird as ZX Spectrum. Like, MSX was basically a super ColecoVision, whereas Spectrum, what the hell was that? Who even
what
knows?
What the hell, yeah.
So, looking back into history, and I poured over a few different sources to find as many Godzilla games as I could. There were a few different wikis, not just Wikipedia, but like Godzilla wikis. There were some fan lists and a few other things. And so I pulled together, oh, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, more than half a dozen games. And then someone added something else with screenshots. Wow, so crazy. Yeah, so the very first Godzilla game going under the name Godzilla was made for Commodore 64 in 1983 by a fellow named Glenn Fisher of Codeworks. And Toho had nothing to do with this game whatsoever, as far as I can tell. It seems it was unlicensed.
Well, you know, that's interesting because Toho is now known as being extremely litigious, and I wonder if games like that are part of what triggered that. They weren't for a long time, and that's why there was all sorts of Son of fill-in-the-blank-zilla things going around, but not just in the game sphere, but like in all sorts of... There's a high-end audio company that was selling things like Son of Amp-Zilla and things like that. which you'd be sued into oblivion for now. So I wonder if...
There was the Commodore 64 thing in Japan?
I don't think so.
Yeah, the C64 did have a presence in Japan, but not a lot of one.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm wondering if it would have popped up on Bandai's radar. Yeah, because this looks like it was a Commodore 64 exclusive fan game, essentially.
Yeah, but I mean, they go after, like, anyone these days. You know, there's the very well-known retro gaming shop Pink Gorilla in Seattle.
Yeah.
Which, that's Seattle.
I was surprised they got a lot of...
Yeah, they were Pink Godzilla for a long time, and then Toho was like, hey... Actually, no. So now they are Pink Gorilla.
And that was even when people knew that Bandai was pretty litigious. So it's kind of, well, not, no, no, it's not it Bandai. Bandai.
It's not Bandai. It's Toho.
Toho. Yeah,
Toho,
yeah.
Toho, Toho.
It's and people already, even I knew. I'm copyright infringement island over here, and even I knew. I was like, oh, Godzilla, Pink Godzilla. Good luck with that. And then a year later, they're like, oh yeah, guess what? We're Pink Gorilla. Yeah.
Is copyright infringement island like Monster Island? What lives there?
Oh yeah, that's where they send all of us. That's where I'm broadcasting the fan artists, from.
The fan fiction writers.
Yeah, T-Public artists and stuff like that, exactly.
ROM hackers.
Yeah, Bandai sends over, Toho Bandai just sends over like a fish head slurry to us once a week, and that's what we have to eat.
You're really obsessed with Bandai for some reason.
Yeah, it's not Bandai. Bandai is not litigious. They're
okay,
I'm
going to show up. We're going to talk about games. Okay.
Yes, anyway. Yeah. So, you know, the interesting thing to me about that C64 Godzilla game is it illustrates how much of a hard time game creators had wrapping their brains around how you make Godzilla fun in a game context. Because the movies are fun. It seems like really a no-brainer, right? You have this giant fucking monster, excuse me, did I say the F word, smashing buildings and other monsters. It seems like the secret sauce is already there, but it wasn't. Because that's like a real-time strategy game and it's boring as hell. Right?
Godzilla's kind of weird because all Godzilla does, he walks around, he smashes things, and he occasionally gets into fights with other monsters, but there's not much of a game there. And
yeah, I mean, when you actually dissect the action scenes in most Godzilla films, especially the Showa era films, it is, you know, it's ponderous, and there is not actually that much to it. I mean, there's like dudes in rubber suits hitting each other, and, you know, occasionally they even draw blood in some of the later films. But for the most part, like, those sequences are actually pretty brief. Like, it's, you know, they're drawn out, they're slow, but that's because everything is kind of filmed to, as you talked about last time, Matt, about how everything is filmed to look weightier and slower and to have more gravity and mass to it. So when you really, like, look at this compared to a contemporary film fight scene, there's actually less going on and less happening over the course of, like, a 10-minute brawl between monsters. And yeah, how do you translate that into video games? And how do you translate that into video games in an era where you're running on very primitive 8-bit hardware and you can't really push, you know, giant monster sprites around? Like, everything had to be pretty small. So, and you only have so much memory, so it's not like you can, you know, make elaborate background tiles that look like an animated monster or something, you know, to use some sort of trickery or gimmickry. Like, you have real constraints, real technical constraints. And so, I don't know. I feel like this may be a boring game. I've never played it, so I can't speak to that. I mean, it's a strategy game, so there's only so much spiciness you can expect. But I think it's a pretty clever approach to basically say, like, hey, this game is not going to let you play as Godzilla. You are playing on the human side, and you're going to lose because Godzilla canonically is like Batman and always wins. But, like, it's the best we can do. You're going to kind of conceive a strategy to prevent Godzilla from breaking through and wrecking Tokyo or whatever. I believe that's the...
So it's the Shin Gojira of video games, is what you're saying. It's like the most recent Godzilla film where it's all about people trying to deal with the natural disaster that is Godzilla.